A Rocky Path by Cassiope 25, a Stargate Atlantis Gen fanfiction with Rodney and John friendship. Read by Tasmi. Summary. While rumors abound that Dr. McKay is a poor choice for the premier team, Rodney finds himself injured and alone with an unconscious Shepard on his hands. It's clearly up to him to save the day. But can he? This is written for a gift for Vendi Abbey with the Gen Mayathon 2025. You asked, among other things, for John, you're terrible with directions, and a day without food. Oh, please, you'll survive. Of course you left me in charge of getting your scrawny ass back to the gate, so I've got to do all the hard work. The tone in which the harsh words were spoken betrayed the concern hidden behind them. So a little help here, Shepard? Rodney gripped his teammates tighter and pulled him further away in the direction where he hoped the Stargate was located. Sweat dripped down his back and forehead, stinging his eyes, his uniform shirt sticking to his skin. Every step was a challenge. The pain in his left leg throbbed with his pulse, and he didn't know how much longer he could hold out. He wasn't sure how things had taken a turn for the worse so quickly. It was only that morning that the whole team had sat together for breakfast in the mess hall. The whole team. Rodney still hadn't gotten used to the idea of being part of a team. All he knew from his childhood was that he was always the last to be picked. He was always the younger, disliked nerd, all brain and no brawn, mocked by everyone, and had to reckon with the angry looks from the group who ultimately had to include him in their team. When the Major suggested he be his first choice to join the team and not the evil that needed to be included for operational reasons, he almost declined. He didn't want to be the laughingstock, thank you very much. But Shepard had looked at him with determination and sincerity, and before he could really think about it, he heard himself accepting the offer. Of course, he should have known better than to think everyone was with Shepard on this. From the moment the decision had spread through the city like wildfire, there had been whispers behind closed doors and open contradiction about whether adding the irritating, obnoxious scientist to the primary team was a good idea or not. That two senior officers should not be in the same team and off-world together was the opinion that was actually to be taken seriously, but most were just sure that Rodney would be a liability in the field. Not being able to obey orders. He would constantly insult all trading partners and simply put the team in danger. It had been the same this morning. Rodney enjoyed sitting at the same table as teammates, for the first time feeling like he belonged. But of course, the mocking voices could not be ignored. I don't get how the Major can put up with someone like McKay. I heard he's whining all the time, and imagine him running like the overweight steamroller he is. They must have to wait for him all the time, enduring his ranting about the waste of his time and genius for the mundane access to beans and rice. Not that anyone would still share their harvest with us after the pubescent performance of Dr. Rodney McKay, PhD, PhD. Rodney felt his blood rising at the dismissive words and the following derisive laughter, and he was just about to rise and tear off the head of those imbeciles when he felt a warm weight on his left forearm. He turned to look into Tayla's reassuring eyes. Derision is the tune of small hearts. It will fade like the dew in the zenith of the sun. They will be taught better through your actions than your words. Rodney pursed his lips, nodded, and unclenched the fist he hadn't even been aware he'd made. When he lifted his head, he saw the tense features of Shepard's face, the disapproval obvious even to him, who had never been good at interpreting facial expressions. Shepard rose with a jerk, pushing his chair backwards. Okay, it's mission time. The sooner we get started, the sooner I'm back to deal with certain things. I guess I'll have to give some people here a piece of my mind. The last part, spoken noticeably louder, echoed through the room, and the voices at the surrounding tables became tensely quiet. Ford, a word, Shepard told the obviously uneasy lieutenant, and both stepped aside while Rodney and Taylor went ahead. Rodney bit his lip and emptied the contents of his untouched tray into the bin, With his head lowered, he left the mess as fast as possible without making it look as if he was fleeing. Now he was mourning his breakfast. He hadn't cared at the time. After all, they'd been invited to a tasty banquet to reaffirm trade relations, and from their last meetings, it had promised to be a gourmet experience. But of course, fate was against him. On their last visit to the planet, they had allied with the local government. But of course, with their luck, a radical faction that would not allow trade relations with off-worlders had gained power and resources and had used the arranged banquet to assert their demands for control. They could at least have had the courtesy to wait until after the course, Rodney muttered, tightening his grip around Shepard's waist, who was about to slip out of his grasp and onto the ground. Not that you would mind, though. You had a decent breakfast and could live on a salad and a cracker anyway. Their progress was slow and had slowed even more in the last few minutes. The relentless throbbing in his left thigh was now almost completely engulfing him, and it was clear that he would not be able to continue like this for long, especially not with the added weight of Shepard. You know, running for our lives with almost nothing but the clothes on our backs is really getting old. Next time, I expect an extended and undisturbed feast. And don't even think about parking the puddle jumper more than 200 meters from the reception committee. I'm a valuable member of the expedition, and I can... Suddenly, and without further warning, his leg gave way, and they both landed in a miserable heap on the stony ground. For a moment, everything went black, the pain the only thing left in Rodney's mind. He gritted his teeth and forced himself to breathe evenly. Slowly, the darkness faded. Trying to block out the pain as best he could, he took stock of their situation. Their limbs were entangled, and Shepard's head was unfortunately pressing down on his leg, just above where the bullet had struck him. The stupid rebels had gotten a lucky shot with a shooting stick. It could hardly be called a rifle, but had, of course, served its purpose. Shit, shit, shit. Now would be a good time to wake up and take responsibility for your own extremities, Major. Of course, Shepard didn't even move, but Rodney, with the last of his strength, somehow managed to separate them and carefully lower his teammate's head to the ground. God, why had they been separated from Taylor and Ford? He really could use their help here. In the back of his mind, he heard the Marines' taunt from this morning. I don't get how the Major can put up with someone like McKay. I heard he's whining all the time. And imagine him running like the overweight steamroller he is. Why couldn't it have been Ford who was on the run with the Major? He certainly wouldn't have been so stupid as to get himself shot. Of course, Shepard wouldn't have had to stop and rescue Ford as he'd had to do with a wounded Rodney. When the rebels got out their weapons and pointed them at everyone around, he'd just frozen. And if it hadn't been for Shepard, he'd be dead now. It was just his bad luck that they hadn't made it out of the battle zone before a fucking bullet hit Rodney in the thigh. He never experienced pain like that before. Oh, no, no, this is so bad. God, I'm a dead man. No time for self-pity, McKay. We have to get out. Now, I promise you a nice, cozy bed in the infirmary later, but we have to get the hell out of here ASAP. He still didn't know how he'd managed to take so much as one single step, but the need to run for his life had made the adrenaline surge, which had helped his feet to get going. He stumbled along with Shepard supporting him, hoping the Major knew the quickest way to get them back to the gate. Of course, Major, you are terrible with directions, Shepard clearly hadn't, and instead of heading straight to the gate, they'd gone in circles. Rodney, who had lost a backpack with his technical gadgets in the commotion, wasn't any help either. Focused on just breathing through the pain, he'd slowed them down even more. When they'd finally left the village a good distance behind them, limping in a strange tripod formation, their luck had run out. All that Rodney remembered was a massive thud and Shepard going down, dragging him with him. Some simple-minded but disturbingly accurate fool who'd followed them had hit Shepard before disappearing again, no doubt gone to get reinforcements to take them into custody for whatever reason. Fortunately, there'd been no one else in sight wanting to stop them from escaping or, worse, to take their lives. But that had also meant there was no one around to help them find their way to the gate. It was all up to Rodney. With most of his weight on his uninjured right leg, he'd somehow managed to put enough weight on his left leg to pull the dazed shepherd up and get them moving. Every step a struggle. When he graduated with his two PhDs, it never occurred to him that this would one day be part of his everyday life. Holding his own in a combat situation wasn't something you had to compete in at MIT. If they ever made it back home, he was sure to be in for some more training sessions and some more humiliating ridicule. Thank you. It made lying here in the dirt almost desirable. Almost. That isn't part of my job description, Shepard. You hear me? You so owe me. When he didn't get an answer, he scrutinized Shepard. His skin was sickly pale and clammy. This wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. Don't you dare go shocky on me. Rodney gently shook Shepard's shoulder. That was enough rest, sleepyhead. Time to wake up. He hadn't expected any reaction, but to his surprise, Shepard actually stirred, mumbling quietly. God, you gave me a good scare. How are you feeling? Probably not so good. They gave you a big bump on your head. You went out like a light. Wait, don't try to get up too fast. Shepard, can you hear anything I'm saying? Rodney knew he was babbling now, but he couldn't stop himself. The worry and his own pain overwhelmed him. Hearing himself speak always had a calming effect, and now was no different. Shepard didn't seem to care, though still struggling to get up, but sinking back down with a groan after just a few seconds. I told you to keep still, didn't I? But of course you won't listen to me, but that's what you get for it. Keep still now and let me take a look first.
What happened? Shepard asked, his words thick and slurred.
What happened? We went for a nice little stroll and just thought this would be a good place to enjoy the sunset, Rodney deadpanned.
Okay?
What do you mean by okay? That blow to your head must have been harder than I realized. Let's go for the basics then. Rodney thought for a moment. What's your name and rank?
Shepard hesitated. I don't know.
You don't? Rodney gulped. Great. Things had just gone from bad to worse. Shepard was obviously suffering from amnesia. The klaxons howled loudly through the gate room as the chevrons clicked into motion. Unscheduled gate activation. It's Lieutenant Ford's IDC, Peter Grodin announced in his ever so calm voice. They're not actually expected back until tomorrow. That doesn't bode well. Lower the shields. Elizabeth hurried down the stairs, her words tinged with concern. A few moments later, Taylor and Ford came running through the gate as if someone was hot on their heels. Close the gate, ASAP, Ford yelled. Immediately the event horizon collapsed, but not before some ricochets had found their way in. Fortunately, none of them hit any targets. What happened, Lieutenant? Where are Major Shepard and Dr. McKay?
We were caught up in a coup attempt and came under fire, ma'am. I think Dr. McKay was hit. We lost sight of the Major and Dr. McKay after that and headed back here as fast as we could. We have to go back with reinforcements and medical help.
They will be in great danger, Dr. Weir. There was a large number of insurgents. If Dr. McKay was badly wounded, they will not make it out on their own, Taylor added urgently. When she caught the theatrical eye rolls from a few of the soldiers guarding the gate room, she frowned, but quickly refocused on Elizabeth. Elizabeth opened her radio.
Weir to Sergeant Bates.
Bates here, ma'am.
Sergeant, Major Shepard and Dr. McKay are missing and probably in need of military assistance and medical attention. Get a rescue team together and meet Lieutenant Ford and Taylor in the gate room. You're leaving together as soon as possible.
She looked at Taylor and Ford, her expression grave.
Bring them home.
Shepard was out cold again, so it was on him to bring both of them back safely. He could do it, couldn't he? God, he almost wished their situation was reversed and it wouldn't be his responsibility to get them home. But it was scary to think something could affect his brain, the only part of him he could rely on, the only thing that earned him any respect. Now, Shepard's life did depend on him. There was no way he'd back out of this. He would have to face carrying him after falling to shake Shepard awake again. How he would manage that with his own leg throbbing was a mystery to him, though. First, he had to do something about the pain. Even if he had lost his backpack, he still had the essentials in his tack vest, so the first aid kit and pain meds would have to do. He fumbled out some Tylenol and bandages, dry swallowed a couple of the pills, and applied a pressure dressing on his wound as best he could. He didn't miss his own clumsiness or the first tail tremble running through his muscles. He should have known that missing out on his breakfast would come back to bite his ass. He rummaged through his vest pockets, feverishly looking for some glucose tablets, but then remembered he had taken the last ones on the last mission. He'd meant to replenish them just this morning, but the events in the mess hall seemed to have affected him more than he'd realized. What a genius you are. Now see if you can get to the gate in time before your hypoglycemia makes you drop like a stone, Ronnie muttered to himself. So much for downtime. Time to save the galaxy again. With that, he sighed and scrambled to his feet, hissing at the immediate flare-up of pain. He stood as close as he could to Shepard, knowing he only had one chance to somehow pull him out onto his shoulders in a fireman's carry. Mobilizing more strength than he would have thought himself capable of, he pulled Shepard on top of him and surprisingly managed to stay upright. Slowly, so very slowly, he set off on his way in the direction he believed the gate had to be, speaking to himself in a mantra. One step at a time, one step at a time, you can do it. Focusing solely on his task, he set one foot in front of the other, blocking out as much of his pain as possible. The time went by as if in slow motion, and he wasn't sure how much distance he had covered when the additional weight became too much, and he had to stop. He was panting now, the symptoms of low blood sugar raising their ugly face full force. He felt dizzy and was sweating far more than heat and exertion could have caused, and the slight tremors had increased. He knew they would soon turn into full-blown shaking. He started to let Shepard slip from his shoulders, but couldn't help dropping him the rest of the way to the ground, eliciting a groan from Shepard. Shit! He wasn't going to make it. What the hell had he been thinking when he decided that he, the woefully unfit scientist, could do this? What's the latest on their location, Lieutenant? Bates demanded when they exited the gate horizon. We were separated right at the beginning of the riot, but our SOP is to regroup at the gate in situations like this. You can clearly see there's no one here, sir, Bates snapped. Something must have happened to Major Shepard and Dr. McKay. They should certainly have been here in the time that has passed. Taylor's facial expression clearly spoke a different language to her reserved voice. It wouldn't come as a surprise given their average mission outcome, Bates scoffed, then turned to the pilot. Markham, cloak the jumper and scan the area. Use the infrared detector too. We're looking for the needle in the haystack. A moan tore from his dark thoughts. Shepard? Can you hear me? Ronnie shook him gently. Now would be a good time to wake up. Shepard's lids fluttered, and he turned his head from side to side, remaining oblivious to his surroundings. Major, Ronnie urged again, don't be difficult. Open your eyes, and you'd better remember who you are and where you have to go. I could really do with some help. Shepard groaned. He had his eyes open now, still looking disoriented and in pain. Very eloquent, Shepard. Your relaxation time is up. I need you to focus now, Rodney ordered, but the soft tone revealed this concern behind his stern words. What? Shepard gazed at Rodney, his eyes clearing again. He scrutinized him with irritation. Where are we? Or more importantly, who are you? And Shepard frowned and narrowed his eyes. Can you tell me who I am? He started to sit up, but instantly fell back again, clutching his head. Oh, shit. Can someone please turn off the hammering in my skull? Great. The blow is clearly more than your military brain could take, Rodney mumbled to himself, with himself barely able to keep on his feet from pain and dizziness, and Shepard out of action. Things were not going well for them. Though he loved being on Shepard's team and was willing to drop everything for off-world missions, he was fully aware of the dangers. More often than not, they ended up running for their lives and coming in hot. The blast right into his face from the race stunner was still all too present in his mind. But despite all the risks and peril, his trust and confidence in the Major's abilities never wavered. The incidents with the Genii, especially Kolya's attempted takeover of Atlantis, had taught Rodney everything he needed to know about Shepard. He would always find a way out of the most precarious situations. He'd never leave anyone behind. He was loyal and dependable and reliable. He was the rock on the surf. With him, Rodney felt safe. But now? Now it was Shepard who would have to rely on Rodney. And Rodney wouldn't let him down. No way. This time, it was up to him to take the reins and prove to Shepard that he could bring them home, however hard it might be. He was the head of science and research, after all. He could take the lead and find a way out. He had to. Rodney took a deep breath and leaned forward, suppressing the scream of pain that threatened to break free from the small movement. Now listen to me. Whether you know the name that goes with that spiky hair of yours or not, it doesn't matter. And in case you haven't noticed, we're in serious trouble. We need to pull ourselves together and find our way back to the gate fast. Shepard tilted his head and looked at him, frowning. I know you from somewhere. The frown deepened. Shepard narrowed his eyes. You don't look so good. Rodney sighed. Well observed, Major. Actually, we're both not doing so good. You're shaking. Rodney rolled his eyes. So at least you still know how to state the obvious. Thank God for small favors. Why? Hypoglycemia, Major. Ring a bell? The last time I ate something was yesterday evening. Yesterday evening? A day without food, I'm sure you'll survive. Fine. You know what, Shepard? The only thing standing between you and a week of freezing cold showers right now is the fact that someone knocked your lights out with a hard rock. That's not very friendly, although it does sound familiar coming from you. Rodney deflated. Never mind. It's just the way I am. We have to get up, though, now and find our way to the gate. Given how much time has passed, it'll be dark soon, and I, for one, don't want to make the acquaintance of the local nocturnal wildlife. Rodney struggled to stand, his vision graying out at the edges as his treacherous body objected. He closed his eyes and breathed deeply in and out, slowly regaining the upper hand. He motioned Shepard to get up too, trying to support the swaying man. Oh, be careful. Falling back to the ground is not on today's agenda. Let me help you. Rodney pulled Shepard's arms over his shoulders, steadying them both, and started to move. Instantly, the pain in his leg flared up again, and he gritted his teeth. It'll so be your fault when I end up losing my leg, you know. He didn't get an answer to this. Not that he had expected one. And slowly, one dragging step after the other, they set themselves in motion again. Rodney wasn't exactly sure how they managed to cover any ground at all. His heart pounded and the blood rushed in his ears, dizziness threatening to overtake him. With every step, Shepard leaned further onto him and they stumbled along what had to be the path to the gate. Suddenly, Shepard stopped, blocking what little momentum they had.
I'm not feeling very well.
He barely got the words out before he doubled over and vomited onto the ground, splattering both their shoes.
Ew! You owe me at least a month's worth of chocolate stash for this, and not a day less, Rodney barked.
Shepard not only seemed unimpressed by that, but had obviously lost the battle against his concussion and his consciousness, too. Rodney staggered under the sudden extra weight, but managed to keep them both on their feet. By now, the beads of sweat had become rivulets dripping from his nose and chin, and his clothes were sticking all over him. He panted with exertion, but unwaveringly forced himself to put one foot in front of the other, a constant mantra of, I can do it, keeping him from giving in to his need to just sink to the ground. Rodney knew he wouldn't last much longer, but every step counted. Stubbornness was the only thing that kept him upright. And then the inevitable happened, and he couldn't withstand his non-existent blood sugar and screaming leg any longer. With a soft, ugh, he faltered, and they landed on the ground with a hard thud. Just before darkness overwhelmed him, he thought he made out a flying shadow, big and boxy, in his peripheral vision. But that must have been his weakness. Nobody had come for them so far, and nobody would for sure. They would simply die on this forsaken planet, turning to dust under the relentless sun. Maybe it was for the better. He wouldn't be missed. The only thing that Rodney regretted, though, was that he had dragged Shepard into the same fate. An unbearable noise made its way into Rodney's skull, pulling him back into consciousness. As much as he tried to escape back into the quiet of the darkness, the annoying beeping would not let him go. Then a telltale disinfectant smell brought him to full consciousness. The infirmary. So he had been rescued after all. How could that be? He tried to open his eyes, but an almost painful brightness made him squeeze them shut again. Then it hit him like a lightning bolt. Shepard. The beeping accelerated, and an alarm shrilled loudly. Immediately there was a commotion, and footsteps approached his bed. A familiar Scottish brogue rang in his ears. About time you woke up, lad. You had us worried for a bit. Warm fingers wrapped around his wrist. Yes, it was Carson. His Scottish friend never trusted his devices alone. Rodney dared to open his eyes again and looked around worriedly. Nothing. Where's Shepard? Is he okay? Carson, he had a concussion, a bad one. An amnesia? Didn't even know who I was. If he wasn't with me when I was rescued, we have to go back immediately. He can't... Rodney, calm down. It's all good now. The major was rescued as well. You were in a right state with hypoglycemia when we found you, slipped into a coma. Took a few days to get you back with us. You can speak of luck, your leg didn't get infected. I was able to retrieve the bullet wound without complications, and it's healing nicely. Carson tapped Rodney's shoulder. You both were lucky that Bates and the rest of your team found you in time. Now, Shepard's already up and wandering about. I was able to discharge him yesterday. Still got a bit of a headache, but holding him in the infirmary is harder than keeping a bag of fleas in one place. Rodney relaxed. For one horrifying moment, he had been convinced he had failed Shepard, and he wouldn't have made it. But of course he hadn't done much good either. It wasn't thanks to Rodney that they had been rescued. Someone else had to find them and bring them home safely. He was a liability. Again. He sighed. It had been too good to be true. Of course, having Rodney on his team had once again put Shepard in danger. It would be best if he offered to resign. The sooner, the better. Like ripping off a band-aid. It would still hurt, but he had a lifetime of practice. And who was he trying to fool? Pretending to be the soldier instead of the scientist? Shepard's men had been right. He was not cut from the same cloth. He sighed. Focusing on his lab work would benefit the expedition far more than trying to play a hero in the field. Cobbler, stick to your last, Ronnie mumbled under his breath.
What's that? Carson asked, clearly unsure what to make of it.
It's nothing. I'm just tired. Ronnie sidestepped the question, not wanting to let Carson in on his darker thoughts. He fell back on familiar territory and snapped.
You know your torturous cots you dare call beds due to my back. Let me go to my quarters and I'm out of your hair.
Carson held up his hands.
Aye, there you are, back in your glory. So if the blood work comes back clean, you can go, but not a bloody second sooner.
He turned on his heel, muttering,
Daft fool, between him and the major, I canna decide who'll be the death of me one day.
Great. Rejecting Carson wasn't what Rodney had intended. All he wanted was to retreat to the privacy of his room and lick his wounds.
Hey, what did you do to Beckett? A well-known voice ripped him out of his reverie.
I just walked past him and he gave me the evil eye. And since I wasn't here, it can only be something you did. Care to enlighten me?
Shepard dropped into the chair next to Rodney's bed, propping his feet on the mattress. A large bruise was blooming across one side of his face, spreading from his forehead to his left temple, still purple at the center. The color was already fading to yellow at the edges and gave Shepard a fierce, battered appearance.
You look like hell, Rodney burst out.
Wow, thanks for the compliment, McKay. You do too, by the way. Have you looked in a mirror lately? Pot, meat, kettle?
Shepard's playful words couldn't hide his worry, though. He studied Rodney intently, his body coiled like a spring. Feeling uneasy and exposed under the scrutinizing gaze, Ronnie turned his head, avoiding eye contact.
I'm not the one who was concussed, without memories. Being in need of someone to guide him, protect him, and bring him home. I'm the one who was there with you and couldn't give you one damn thing of that. Hell, I was the one who put you in that bad situation in the first place, who was responsible for the injury that led to all of this. And in the end, I couldn't give you the support and strength and rescue you needed. Others had to come in to make up for my mistakes.
Shepard's face had tightened even more with each word, and he jumped in on the first breather.
Stop that nonsense. If it weren't for you, I'd still be lying there in the dirt. You got me out of the line of fire, and...
Out of the line of fire and into the frying pan, you mean? Ronnie cut him off.
And before you correct me... I know that's backwards, but the whole situation was. Let me spell it out for you. I fucked up even before you got hit. No, Shepard, I know you heard the Marines the other day. I'm not meant to be an off-world team, let alone the premier one. I'm no good for anyone.
I said stop it, Shepard interrupted again.
Don't worry about the Marines. I already took care of that. You dragged me to the gate. You fucking carried me. They wouldn't have found us if we hadn't been that close to the gate. Bad things happen, McKay. Every mission is a risk. I know that, and you know that too. It was you who wouldn't leave me behind. It was you who brought us to safety. You did good, McKay. I owe you for my life.
A silence stretched between them after Shepard's outburst.
Truly mean that? It's not just to humor me, right? I would understand if you tell me straight out that you want another scientist on your team. I can make you a list to choose from. There's Simpson, McKay, Shepard growled. Did you hear a damn word I said? I won't have it any other way. I don't want another scientist on my team. I want the best, and you are the best, and my friend.
At least that's what I thought, Shepard ended softly.
Of course we're friends, Ronnie replied quickly, flustered. He then added more quietly,
I mean, it means a lot to me that you thought that you still do. For a moment, neither of them spoke a word, the air high on emotion. Then Ronnie smirked.
So you'd say that was a Hail Mary again, right? That's slowly becoming a habit, Shepard. Don't let it go to your head. There's still a lot you have to improve.
John teased. We'll have to work on your shooting, and you definitely have to increase your muscle mass and carrying abilities. So we'll have to expand your times on both the range as well as in the gym. This'll give.
Oh, no, 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 no. You can dream of that. I have a fairly tight schedule as it is, and I'm still the most intelligent person on the expedition. I'm not going to waste my brain power potential on your big bang practice and muscle hill building nonsense.
Maybe I should question your team leader abilities after all. I always thought it was nuts that you sent the genius out to be shot at.
A loud barking laugh ran through the infirmary, stopping Rodney in his rant.
Geez, McKay, finally you sound like yourself again. You had me almost a little worried, buddy.
Well now, Brainland has you back. I'm sure your minions appreciate it, too.
Rodney had to grin despite himself. John could always do this to him. With a much lighter heart, he sank back into his pillow.
Right. Can't have him stumbling around headless, tripping over wires and theories.
No, you can't have that, Shepard grinned back widely.
And I am so going to choose the movie for the next movie night. I won't sit through any of your bad science stuff in the near future. No more Back to the Future.
As long as it's not Farscape. That show creeps me out.
That's an idea, though.
McKay.
Yes, yes, I won't. We'll do something in more familiar territories. I brought all seasons of Doctor Who with me. So what do you say to that?
That's a deal.
Shepard patted Rodney's uninjured leg.
I have to go now. Get some more rest. I'll see you later.
Rodney looked after him and relaxed. It might have been a rocky path, but it felt good to be friends with someone like Shepard. Maybe it wasn't so nuts to go out on the field after all. It was totally worth it.
The end.